Canada needs more teachers, especially ones who specialize in French as a second language. For a bilingual nation like Canada, this growing shortage is a problem. I'm Mimi Masson, and this is my podcast series about FSL teachers. While doing my PhD at the University of Toronto, I learned why we have so much trouble recruiting FSL teachers and why so many of them drop out of the profession. And I dedicated my research to finding ways to help them. Now, I'm sharing my research findings with you. In the last episode, we talked about the poor working conditions that FSL teachers experience in schools across Canada and how it has contributed to what I call FSL teacher flight.
You're not treated like other professionals. There's no trust.
French teachers are kind of left out of professional development.
My principal is very proud of our French program, but really we've had no support. We've done this all on our own.
How dare we claim to be professional enough to identify areas in which we need or want development?
You just shut up and you play the game. I won't last as a teacher.
In this episode, we'll talk about why professional development for FSL teachers is stagnant and what myths perpetuate this neglect. And we'll discuss why it's important, from a psychological standpoint, to create support systems that help teachers evolve their practice. I'll also talk about some of the research that inspired my thesis work and what my own research findings have taught me about the benefits of professional learning communities and computer-supported collaborative learning networks. If you can speak it, you can teach it. This is a common way of thinking about language teaching. Ever since the field of applied linguistics started, around the 1950s, it was largely believed that native speakers, people who were born into it, who have grown up with the knowledge and culture of that language, are qualified to teach it. For a long time, second language and foreign language teachers were considered educated and trained when they knew about the language they were teaching, specifically when it came to grammar and literature. In other words, very little attention was given to how to teach languages because it was assumed that knowing was enough. And though this myth was largely debunked thanks to decades of research, remnants of this antiquated belief still remain today. It's one of the reasons why research about professional development for language teachers is so sparse. A second myth still floating around is that learning a language is something you receive from external sources. It's something you simply absorb and then transmit. This myth frames language as a product of teaching rather than a social communication process and keeps students in a passive role. This top-down knowledge transmission model, which values product over process, leaves little room for the validation of teachers' unique voices and experiences in the classroom. Fortunately, more recent research in the emerging field of FSL teacher learning is finding that knowledge is active, not passive. It's ongoing and co-constructed rather than conceived and transmitted. And if that's the case, then teaching languages is more subjective than originally thought, which means teachers need to be creative, adaptable, and multifaceted. And they should have the tools to help them evolve their practice to meet their students' changing needs. In the 1930s, a Soviet psychologist named Lev Vygotsky deviated from the norm with the social-cultural theory on cognitive development. Basically, he defined learning as a social process. Through others, we become ourselves, he would say. His theories stood in stark contrast to the long-established studies in psychology, which firmly stated that learning only takes place in the individual's mind. Vygotsky believed that the transformation of knowledge from external to internal did not happen automatically or independently. In her 2009 book, Karen Johnson, a professor of language learning and applied linguistics, encourages us to use Vygotsky's social-cultural theory to help change the way we consider teacher professional learning.
It takes prolonged and sustained participation in the activities of both becoming and being a teacher. It requires that teachers and teacher educators establish locally appropriate professional development goals that fulfill teachers' needs in the particular instructional context in which they teach.
This, to me, is a breath of fresh air. It's a new way of understanding how language teachers learn to teach and how their previous experiences inform their belief systems and what they do in the classroom. Even today, we tend to overlook many of the social and cultural aspects of teachers' lives that inform and impact their practice. We overlook their experiences, their social identities, their needs as language learners, their work environments, and their professional development. Johnson recommends we view teachers as learners of teaching and that we rethink language as a social practice. She also recommends we put a larger emphasis on the character and quality of interactions. She argues that teaching and learning should not be treated as separate activities, and that teachers' classrooms are themselves sites for professional learning. Learning is social and collaborative, and it involves addressing and critically reflecting on local issues, and it should be sustained over the course of teachers' careers. That's why Johnson argues for rethinking professional development beyond coursework, workshops, and seminars to include informal and social professional networks for teachers. I was really interested in exploring these last points in my own research, since few studies exist on this topic. If teachers had access to professional learning communities, or PLCs for short, would it improve their outlook on teaching? And would it ultimately lead to more meaningful teaching and learning of FSL in schools? PLCs are collaborative learning networks set up with the explicit goal of improving student learning. It's a form of professional development that has a lot of potential to help teachers. Teachers who've participated in PLCs in the last decade reported feeling closer to their colleagues and feeling a sense of appreciation towards their school's administration for giving them this time to collaborate and share best practices. They also reported better results in the classroom. But one of the issues with past PLC studies is that they focused on identifying a one-size-fits-all approach to learning. They didn't quite make room for the teachers to develop a sense of agency and autonomy in their own professional learning. Some of these studies were product-oriented, getting teachers to work together to create a product or a tool they could use in the classroom, rather than giving teachers a forum where they can develop their knowledge and navigate their own learning. In fact, in many cases, the researchers who authored the studies were the ones who assessed the teachers' learning, not the teachers themselves. One researcher, Paula Christmansen, led a study in 2011 that focused more on doing research with teachers rather than on teachers. This approach allowed educators to reflect on their own beliefs and practices. In this study, teachers worked on uncovering their philosophical stance before developing an action plan. They identified their own needs and found solutions that suited their specific teaching contexts. And I found this really promising. I wanted to learn more. In 2014, I joined Dr. Mary Coy's research team as a graduate assistant at the University of Toronto. She's a professor with the Department of Curriculum, Teaching and Learning at the Ontario Institute for Studies in Education, and she became my thesis supervisor. From 2011 to 2015, Dr. Coy led a study where a group of FSL teachers participated in a computer-supported collaborative learning network. CSCLs are professional development networks that blend online and face-to-face interactions with other teachers in the field. And the key here is that they focus on the process of learning. In them, teachers can articulate new ideas, hear and introduce different perspectives, define terms, negotiate beliefs, and gain and share knowledge. It's a serious motivator and a driving force for change, and it makes them feel part of a trusted community. The purpose of the study was to see if this type of professional development would help teachers regain their confidence and rejuvenate their passion for teaching. My thesis documents the long-term experiences of two FSL teachers in particular, Sophie and Christina. I looked at how their experiences with the CSCL network over 4 years changed the way they felt about their classroom practice, how it influenced their outlook on the profession, and how their identities as professionals evolved over time. If their experience was a positive one, an experience of growth for them, then my study could serve as an additional resource to finding solutions to fight FSL teacher flight.
I think this group really supports me in being a trailblazer.
This is Sophie.
I find that in this group, we're like-minded and we're interested in change and we support one another and we encourage one another to try new things, you know, push the boundaries and the limits, because I might not get that support from naysayers at school. We're all from different school boards, different international contexts even, and we can compare, you know, see what's going on elsewhere and step outside of the bubbles of our schools.
Here's Christina.
Every time we meet, we're so positive. And by the end, I always feel so happy after we have these meetings. Like you feel rejuvenated and that you have more ideas and you can go back and try something else and report it back because you feel supported. And so this professional learning community idea should really be extended to like all teachers all the time.
CSCLs are transformational in nature because they put teachers in the driver's seat. Their environments help teachers negotiate the complexities of their practice and develop their professional identities and sense of well-being because they're safe spaces that don't typically have hierarchies. In that way, they challenge traditional forms of top-down teacher learning models, where teachers are often expected to learn from outsider experts in one-shot sessions, in lectures, conferences, workshops, etc. They also help build community because they place emphasis on relationships rather than producing learning outcomes.
It's a safe place to voice concerns and celebrate triumphs. My expectations were to grow as a teacher by speaking about my practice and beliefs, to learn about the realities in other schools or boards or countries, to gain invaluable information for my future as an administrator, and to have some time to focus on my own research. This has happened and continues to happen.
The emotional involvement of teachers learning together and feeling like a valued member of the group is essential to their professional well-being. And in order to promote teacher learning and well-being through collaboration, teachers need time to develop bonds of trust and mutual respect. I can't stress enough how important it is that they be given time and space to do that. As other scholars have pointed out, teachers' perceptions of their own professional identity affect their efficacy. It affects their ability and willingness to cope with educational change and their willingness to come up with and implement innovative ideas in the classroom. Change the perception, change the outcome, says Sophie.
I've really taken a new approach to how I do things. I just want to scrap the old and do things differently and really embrace what other people have to offer and just try new things. It gives way for the what if questions that all teachers have, but don't have the time to test and try. Over time, I think, you know, teachers in this community learn that their independent thinking and professionalism is very important and that there is PD beyond school or ministry-driven PD.
There's no one-size-fits-all in professional learning. The CSCL network is an easy, accessible, and cost-effective way to encourage the free-flowing exchange of ideas. It offered a space for Sophie and Christina to negotiate their personal thoughts, feelings, and ideas about their practice, all the while gaining access to others' ideas in a social forum. Sophie and Christina identified emotional support as one of the benefits of working on professional learning through a CSCL network. Working with colleagues and students all day can be as emotionally taxing as it is rewarding. For these teachers, the CSCL network allowed them to process these emotions. This type of PD helped them develop a sense of professional well-being over time, suggesting that CSCLs are a great way to address feelings of isolation and marginalization that FSL teachers have so often reported. Ministries of Education and school boards may want to consider funding FSL teacher professional learning that can lead to developing strong communities of practice. PD should be designed as a continuous and ongoing part of FSL teachers' lives. Funds could be allocated for FSL teachers to meet at professional association conferences, such as OMLTA, ACPI, or CASALT, for example. Teachers can also form a group with colleagues in their school or colleagues from other schools that they meet in their board or at professional conferences. They can meet online to have a group video conferencing meetings by using free platforms such as Skype or Google Hangouts. They can use free collaborative learning apps such as Slack to create their forum, and they can access their forum from their computer or mobile phone. Many apps allow you to create different channels to discuss any topic you want. They can share links, pictures, and resources. Teachers can organize their channels however they want. I strongly recommend they have a general or random channel to share jokes, vent, bond through humor, post GIFs, etc. This kind of talk is crucial for teachers to create a sense of community and develop trust. An online forum is a great way for teachers to document all their learning without extra effort on their part. All their conversations can be saved. They can go through the archives, even share pieces of it with administrators or researchers who might be interested in seeing how they're learning together. Close collaboration and coordination with administrative staff is essential. Teachers need their administration's support and to be given time to meet online, time to reflect on their learning. It's important to note here that administrators may have to relinquish control of these professional learning networks. If they become involved and present in these networks, it's very likely it will change the dynamics of the community, and it could even hinder the teacher's professional learning experiences and opportunities. Teachers, teacher educators, and stakeholders, if you'd like to see examples of FSL teachers leading the discussion and learning together, visit www.fslteacherlearning.com, where you can download my thesis and get a sense of the possibilities afforded by professional learning in a CSCL network. In the next episode, we'll talk about one of the most common questions that teachers discussed while participating in the CSCL network: how to evaluate their students' ability to speak French. The group came up with some innovative ways of grading their students, something that might never have happened had they not been given the space to openly brainstorm, test it, and evaluate it as a community. This podcast series was made possible thanks to the funding from the Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council and the Ontario Institute for Studies and Education at the University of Toronto. I'm your host, Mimi Masson. Production, editing, and sound design by Sabrina Daniel. Voice acting by Shakina Rajendram, Jennifer Burton, and Chana Carroll.